This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon is facing a new political crisis. Yesterday, Sharon's main coalition partner joined in a vote rejecting the government's proposed budget, prompting him to dismiss the party's five ministers. Sharon now has the support of only 40 members in the 120-member parliament. The prime minister says he's entering into coalition talks with the opposition Labour Party. I ask NPR's Linda Gradstein in Jerusalem why the budget was rejected.
Well, this was only the first reading of the budget. It still has a chance to pass. And it was rejected on this vote because the centrist Shinui Party had threatened that if Sharon included about $70 million in special allocations to the ultra-Orthodox parties, then Shinui would not support the budget. And that's exactly what happened. Every year there's a crisis over the budget, and the budget has to pass by March 31st. If it doesn't, the government falls. What's different this time is that Sharon is also trying to push through his Gaza pullout plan, and if the government falls and there's new elections, then that means that that Gaza withdrawal plan would be put on hold.
And there's a sense that Ariel Sharon precipitated this political crisis.
Well, that's right. In fact, the letters of dismissal to the Shinui cabinet ministers were actually printed several hours before the Knesset even met. And the Israeli press describes how in the hours before the vote, when there should have been frantic negotiations to try to find a solution, Sharon very calmly sat and had lunch in the parliament cafeteria and didn't seem at all perturbed. And there was nobody trying to get Shinui to stay. The reason Sharon did this is because of the makeup of the Israeli political system. There are 120 Knesset members, so Sharon needs a coalition government of at least 61 in order to function properly. Even with Shinui, for the past few months, he's only had 55 out of 120. Now, with Shinui going, he's down to 40. So Sharon is in a minority government. But the reason that he precipitated this crisis is because he thinks he can build a new coalition that will actually give him more than 61 seats and that will be much more stable and that he can then go ahead with the Gaza withdrawal plan and with other things.
So what sort of effect will this have on the Israeli government?
Well, Sharon is trying to put together a wider coalition government that would include Labor and at least one, if not two, of the ultra-Orthodox parties. Labor wants to go into the government. They've been in the opposition for several years now. They want to be part of the decision-making process. And perhaps most importantly, Labor unequivocally supports the Gaza pullout plan. So it's very likely that Labor will join. One Israeli commentator said that Labor has been sleeping outside Sharon's office with their boots on, just waiting for him to open the door and let them in. And that seems likely. The problem is the Likud Central Committee, which is the main decision-making body of the Likud, has voted against allowing Labor in. Sharon now has to go back to the Central Committee, convince them that things have changed, and convince them to change their mind about letting Labor in.
Linda, there's also a fascinating turn of events in Palestinian politics. Tell us about that and how important it is.
Well, the Palestinians are holding elections to replace Yasser Arafat. Those elections are scheduled for January 9th. The deadline for candidates to run in those elections was midnight last night. And just a few hours before midnight, a jailed popular leader, Marwan Barghouti, announced through his wife and aides that he has decided to run. Last week, Barghouti had said he had decided not to run because he didn't want to split the largest Palestinian political faction, Fatah. Fatah has chosen as its candidate Mahmoud Abbas, who was Arafat's deputy in the PLO, a former Palestinian prime minister, sort of an example of the old guard of Palestinians. Barghouti is an example of the young guard. It's not clear exactly what Barghouti's motivations are, but it's certainly an interesting development.
Thanks very much, NPR's Linda Gradstein in Jerusalem.